How's everybody doing? I'm getting used to my bridle here. Yeah, kind of goofy, but it'll work. It's better than that thing up here, so I'm kind of liking it. I don't have to use my hands. So last week we talked about acting faithfully to accomplish the work of the Lord. Let me say this. You guys are awesome. You know, all you guys that come and help here in the community and do all this work in the service of the Lord. And, you know, for a little bitty church, we do an awful lot of stuff, don't we? You guys feel a little burnt out over the summer. We had so many activities and we're still not done yet. We still got a lot of stuff. We did VBS. We had 60-some kids come through here. And this church is teaching young children how to be faithful to God and teaching it. The Bible says, raise a child up in the way they should go, and when they're older, they won't depart from it. So that was part of our work of service. So we've gone out, we've done that, we've been ministering to our towns. As Joey said, we've been going to this this Cascade Foothills Ford Foundation thing that has been put on for leaders of our communities, not just Lowell, but it's the communities that surround us. It's the Cascade Foothills is what they call it. And so it is a structured thing that's been put together for the enhancement of community. It's rural communities, not cities, but rural communities. And the reason why is because they were looking forward to these communities and seeing how that when the timber industry kind of took its fall and there wasn't the money coming into these small rural communities. In fact, when the mills and stuff were closing, there was no infrastructure, it started messing up all these little towns. And you guys have seen that happen. And so what they seen was that how can we help these communities see their potential and grow and bring in other means of another way to continue the small communities and keep them going. And so we're kind of a bedroom community, and most of the people that live here go to town to work. But in the middle of this understanding is that we've lost the art of community and how to work together. And in our culture today, there's just a lot of, I'm taking care of me, you know. And so we need to come back to that place to where we look out for one another and we look at the whole and what's best for everybody, not just what's best for me, but what's best for everyone. And so they actually, and so what Joey also alluded to and shared with you is that we find a decline in church growth. We're finding a decline in church membership and people even going to church. And we found out that the reason why that is that people just stay home. They do their own thing. They have their video games, their movies, their all the things that are going on at home. And that's okay. That's enough. And so without fellowship, without a people, loving people and growing together. Listen, if you grow, you're gonna grow by other people around you, and we're gonna learn and grow from one another. If we get offended by something somebody did, right? And so we just go, okay, look, they offended me. I'm not gonna be part of them anymore. I'm gonna do my own thing. Are you gonna grow from that? No, you're gonna stay the same. You're just gonna go home and be the same person you were before, right? And so God intended us to come together as a group of people to grow and learn from one another and to continue to move forward. And as we do that, there's a maturity level that happens in people is that they look outside themselves, right? They find the greater good and what God has called the community to do, and because it's all about, if you read Acts and clear through the New Testament, you'll find out that Paul and the leaders were taken and moving, going to these communities and teaching them how to work together as a group of people. And so Titus, I really wanted to go here first. And I told you last week, or maybe it was last week or week before, that I was looking at two areas to go to, and neither one of them was this area. And I just was praying it through, and I felt led to go here first. And this is why. Because if we don't understand the foundation of church and how it works, we're not going to get the picture of the whole. And so we're going to go to what God intended for as a church. And so what Titus is all, has anybody ever remember listening to a pastor going, okay, let's flip our Bibles to Titus, right? It's like, oh, no, you go to all kinds of places, but Titus isn't really a big one. It isn't one that people go to a lot. And I kind of see why. because this is kind of offensive in some ways. And if you take this personally, you're going to get offended. But you need to look at it in God's view of why he put it in the scriptures, right? And so basically this letter was written for it was an island of Crete. If you guys know anything, if you geography, you know, of world understanding of where things are, Crete is an island in Greece. It's a Greek island, and there it's one of a few, and it was the largest island. And this was a group of people that got the truth from Acts that about the idea that and understanding that Jesus died for our sins. Listen, there was a bunch of Jews that was involved in this, and the Jews were teaching and preaching the law, and they hadn't really accepted Christ yet. They were kind of still saying that this isn't the Son of God. And so there was some things going on as far as the Jews go about accepting Christ. And so this New Testament church, Paul had written, and he'd left Titus there to be the leader of this group of people on the island of Crete. Okay, so this letter was written to Titus, and he was the pastor of a church in Crete, but he also was a apostle to the churches that were in Crete, because it was a pretty large island, and so there was more than one, just to give you kind of a background of what was going on. So this letter had went out to Titus, the leader, and so he is addressing some issues in this letter, and listen, don't take this personally. I am not teaching this for any individual sitting in this church, right? This isn't what I'm doing here. I'm just giving you an overall view of what happens with church in general, right? What happens and that's kind of where we're sitting right now as church, as believers in Christ. There are people who want their ears tickled, right? They want to hear the good stuff. All they want to hear is that they're saved and they're going to heaven. Right? They don't want to hear about their role in being part of this body of believers who are sharing this news to other people and what that all means. You know, they would rather go home and watch Joel Osteen on TV and feel good. You know, I'm telling you, there's a huge group of people that don't go to church, but they'll watch church on TV. And the problem with that is this, and it's okay to watch because I watch it. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that if that's all you do, you're missing out on the fellowship of the believers and your role as a believer in the body as a whole, right? So what is your part? And that's why Joey and I, we are really concerned about raising disciples. We, you know, church, pew setters is great. That's great. Come, listen, grow in Jesus. That's wonderful. But there's more to it than just that. There is more to this walk with God than just coming and listening to a sermon and going home, right? If you're not doing your part, then we're missing out. We're missing you. And you are a blessing to us. And what God has given you and your gifts are not being used because you're not here, right? You're not part of the whole. And so I'm going to take you to Titus chapter 1, verse 1, and I've entitled this message, The Conduct Manual for Church Living. The Conduct Manual for Church Living. So let's kick it off. Let's go. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth, which is according to godliness. Okay, so who's he speaking to? It shows right there. He's talking to believers, chosen people who've accepted Christ as their Savior. That's who he's talking to, right? He's talking to believers. And so that's you. Everybody get that? So this letter is written to you. I mean, because the Bible is past, present, future. It's written for us today as well as it was for them. So if you're going to receive that, you're going to have to listen carefully to what it's saying to you personally. And so this truth, which is according to godliness. Now, godliness is those who have accepted Christ and understand. Listen, it's a great thing that we sang about grace, because we're not saved by works. Does everybody understand that? You're not saved by your works in the church. That's not what gets you saved. What saves you is your recognition of Jesus and what he did on the cross and your willingness to accept his sacrifice for your sins, ask for forgiveness, and guess what he does? He comes in, he forgives you, and he's part of you. Right? He lives with you, in you. And so that is what gets you to heaven, not your works before God. And so just to clarify that, because this isn't about a works thing. This is about relationship with Christ and what he's called you to do and your advancement in that acknowledgement and then what you do with it. So it says, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago, but at the proper time manifested even his word in the proclamation with which I was entrusted according to the commandment of God our Savior. So Paul was an apostle. He was called to do his part, and his part was to, well, he wrote most of the New Testament. So his call was to give us understanding. And then he writes this letter to Titus, my true child in the common faith, grace and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus, our Savior. It says, for this reason, I left you in Crete. So Paul basically raised up Timothy as well. Timothy was the books before this one. And 1st and 2nd Timothy, Timothy was also a mentor of Paul, or a mentoree of Paul. They were learning from Paul, and so was Titus. And so Paul left Titus in Crete to do the work of service. So for this reason, I left you in Crete, and I told you what that was. It was an island in Greece. It's part of Greece. It's a Greek island, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. So he was going out doing the work of service. Now, what I want you to understand is that we get pastors, teachers. There's fivefold ministry in Scripture, right? And so we get pastors and teachers in that fivefold area, right? But we have missed out on the apostles and prophets. And we get the evangelist, right? That's part of what we gave this morning to, was people who go out, the evangelists that go out and preach to the world, right? They're in Africa and all over. In fact, Dan is an evangelist. He goes to the streets. He preaches the gospel message to the people in our community and others. And so do some of you. You have a call to be an evangelist. So, but we miss out on the prophet and the apostle. Now, Titus was an apostle, right? He was part of that apostleship because why? He was a leader of not just one church, but many. And so we, in our organization, we have apostles. Did you guys know that? I mean, you're part of, in Open Bible Churches, you're part of a bigger picture. It's not just East Valley Church. We are part of a bigger group of people which have churches all over the world, right? And so this Open Bible Churches is what we are. There are apostles in our denomination who are overseeing these churches. I am accountable to. So Titus was called to raise up elders. Well, what's an elder? Well, we're going to look at that later. But it says, namely, if any man is above reproach, and so let's look at it, that the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of deception or rebellion. Let me tell you, in the days that we live in, it's harder and harder and harder to find a man of this quality. You know what I'm saying? If you haven't been in the church and you haven't had some standards for your life and living those standards, and you get that by the power of the Holy Spirit and what you've been taught, and you walk in that, then you qualify for this leadership. And not a lot of people want to do this. You know that? It's hard to find men. Listen, men are just not doing what they should be doing as a whole. I'm not talking to you, okay, guys? You guys are doing great because you're here and you're working in the church and doing your part. And that's because I, as a leader, and those that are here understand that our job is to equip the saints for works of service. It's not about me. Listen, I'm the bottom of the totem pole here. I'm the guy that is trying to do the work of service, to teach you, to graze you, so that you'll just go by me and do what God's called you to do, right? So it's not about me as the big head dog. That's not it. I'm here to serve you. Right? So the works of service is my job. I want to teach you how to do that. And so we have elders, their job and what they do. And if you are really looking toward and praying about what God has called you to do, listen, you'll know when he's driving you in that direction. And what's going to happen is God will call you to it. Some of you guys that are called to this, when you get there, you go, I'm not worthy of this. Because I remember when I was going, look, this is, you guys got the wrong guy. Right? I am not good enough to do this. Well, guess what? You ain't never going to be good enough. Right? It's not about being good enough. It's about your willingness to obey what God's called you to do, and then he'll take you to the next step. You guys understand that? You ain't never going to be good enough. You can't work your way there. When God calls you and somebody asks you to consider this and pray about this, that's God's prompting and direction for you as men. Okay? He says he wants to raise up people of leadership. That's what's going on here. And so he's doing that in this island that God's put him in the headship over. And so, and your children or your household should be in order. You know, that's number one, guys. If your household's not in order, if your family is not in order, you should try to work on that. Right? That should be number one. You should be spending time teaching your children in the way they should go. I remember when I was called into eldership, my son was in high school at the time, junior high. He was in junior high. And I don't know about any of you guys, but how many of you had children that was kind of rebellious when they were junior high school? You know, and so I was feeling like, well, man, maybe I shouldn't be in this position because, you know, Chad's being a turkey, right? He's being a little rebellious, and so that means if I don't have my house in order, then I probably shouldn't be doing this job. And so I went before the elders, and I told them. I said, I'm having a little trouble, Chad. And if Chad was here, he'd tell you he was a little turkey. And he's grown above that now, thank God. He's done great, and he's turned out to be an awesome young man. Let me tell you, he's a good kid. And but at that time, when I was there, I was trying to hold myself accountable, and so I brought it to the leaders that were before me, and they got to pray for me, right? And we got through it, and so I continued on my role. But listen, that's what Joey was talking about earlier. If you guys are having a glitch in whatever situation you're in, whether it's in your family situation, in your marriage, in a situation that you need some input about, then by all means do that, because that's what we're here for. That's what your family's here for. And just be real, be honest, because you're never going to grow unless you're going to be honest about where you are. And then share that and allow the people that you love and respect to breathe into your life and then pray you through it. And they will, because you're not going to get condemned, right? Not by me especially, because I've already been there. I know that. I know what that feels like. I'm not going to condemn you. I'm going to pray with you and for you and help you in any way that I can. And so condemnation comes from the enemy. That's not what we're here to do. So if you're in a situation, bring it to light so that you can get through it, right? And get help. A lot of people don't like that. They don't want to expose their life to what's wrong. And why is that? Well, pride. For one thing, if they knew what I was really like, they wouldn't like me anymore. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because usually what happens is if you open yourself up to somebody and reveal your weakness in an area somewhere, then you're going to find out that other people deal with the same thing or have in the past and got over it, got through it, and raised above it. And that's the idea, that we grow above these things. And so So we're talking about rebellion and deception, so children that aren't that way. For the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, right? Not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious. Now, does anybody know what pugnacious is? I had to look it up. Quick to argue, quarrel, or fight. That's pugnacious. One that's just sharp at you, coming at you, quick to quarrel, or blame, or fight, or stand firm in their belief, and you're going to listen, or by gollies, you'll be glad you heard it, or didn't want to hear it, or whatever the case may be, you're going to make your point. That's pugnacious. So what we're looking for is somebody who's not self-willed, not looking about what they want, not quick-tempered, not addicted to alcohol or drugs, not quarrelsome, and not really wanting a bunch of money, not about sordid gain, not about getting everything that you can get and hang on to it for yourself, not sharing. And so, but you're supposed to be hospitable. What's hospitable? Open. Yeah, come in. Share my life. I'll share my life with you. Loving, what is good, sensible, just, devout. What's devout mean? Are you devoted to your family, to your church? Right? We just talked about that. Lots of people aren't devoted to their church. They go wherever they feel like it, and if they don't want to be there that day, they don't. Devotion to first to God. Right? If you don't know what devotion is, that would be number one for you to understand, is that you have to be devoted to God, number one. And then all your other devotions come from that. Your devotion to your wife, to your husband, to your family, to your children, and then devoted to your church family and your community and so on and so forth. Whatever God's called you to in that devoted area. I don't find a lot of devotion in the way that our culture is going, right? It's kind of sad that we're moving away from real devout, devoted people to a cause or a situation that is going on. They will work it through to the very end. That's what really devotion is that you're going to stay with it. You're not going to quit. You're not going to give up. You're going to see the better for the whole, and you're going to work it through. Not like, you know, this is the criteria, because you can't be self-willed or quick-tempered or addicted to anything or pugnacious. You want to be hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, and self-controlled. When God says stop, guess what? You need to pay attention to that and stop it. Do we do that? Are we good at stopping? How many of you guys are real good at just stopping when God says, whispers to your ear to stop now? I don't know about you, but I'm still working on that. It's not an easy task to listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit and whatever he says, be obedient to it. Some of you guys need to develop what God is saying. Listen carefully what he is saying. We talked about that a week or so ago. Hold fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that we will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict sound doctrine. So you have to have a good basic understanding of Scripture. Okay. Now, I got to tell you guys that there are believers that have called themselves Christians for a long time, but it's not deep. You know, it's shallow, because the depth of understanding of Scripture is that it's calling you to raise yourself to a higher standard, right? To arise to that place that God's called you. So the standard of your walk is higher than what you would normally be, right? Because the Holy Spirit's calling us to holiness and righteousness, right? And so if he's calling us to that, we have to evaluate ourselves and see that we're in the faith, that we are doing what the Bible says. We can't be living a lifestyle that's contradictory to the word and saying it's okay. You guys understand what I'm saying? And I don't think I have to bring a real point to this, because you know what that is, right? Because there are some standards that God says. Right? If we're bringing what the world says is okay into the church, it's not okay, because the standard is what God says is okay, right? So homosexuality, right? It's not okay. You cannot be that and say it's okay, like a lot of people in our society is doing today. I'm sorry, the Bible says very clearly, God did not create a man for a man, or a woman for a woman. He said, no, just the opposite. It was for man, for a woman, and woman for man, and that's the way it is. You can't change that. That's the standard. And when you go messing with the standard, you start messing with a lot. Or premarital sex, right? You cannot be going out and having sex with people before marriage. You can't do it. It's against God's law. And if you do that, there are consequences. Not that God's not going to be able to forgive you for that, but if you are doing that and saying it's okay, it's not. And I can take you through a bunch of scripture that says, no, and is it because God's a prude? Right? That he don't get it? I got to have fun? No, he certainly understands. In fact, he created a relationship and sex. He created it. It's a wonderful thing. But people take it way out of place. And it's a desire of self. And it certainly isn't what God planned. He planned relationship to be very wonderful. Right? But if you do that before marriage, right, and you start messing around, guess what? You open a window of appetite that God never intended you to have, right? So satisfy, what it satisfies you, a marriage won't do that for you. If you've been out there just having all kinds of relations, right, God never intended you to open that window. He said, you keep it closed, keep it locked down, and let me give you the one that you get to be with forever. What a wonderful thing. And the world has tainted all that. And guess what? The church has bought into it. How do I know that? Because the statistics show that there's as much or more divorce in the church as it is in the world. And for that reason, I know the teaching of God's standards have fallen to a place to where we've accepted the truth of the world. And it is not truth. It's a lie. And so we need to have a standard. We need to work through and understand these standards. So there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. So what he's talking about is the Jewish culture at that time. So the circumcised people were Jews, right? And so who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. Because what feels good, do it. Right? That isn't God's law. One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. Okay, let me ask you something. If you look at the world today, could we as a people say that, man, our world's become a bunch of gluttons, they're liars, they're evil beasts. Could we say that and be right? Being right is one thing. Having the responsibility of being right is another, right? So if we are correct in that assumption, as these people were, because it says right there, it says this testimony is true, right? What they were saying was not a lie. How they were doing it was wrong, right? So it says their testimony is true. For this reason, reprove them severely so that they may be sound in the faith. So what do we do with people who come to church and say it's okay for women to marry women? What would you say to that? Well, that's not what God says. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be, ornery about it, but you can speak truth and love, can't you? And you can explain why the Bible says that, and you can show, and if you're wise, you'll be able to do that, and I've done it. I've shared directly to people who are in a homosexual relationship, talked to them through it, right? And then they make a decision. But if nobody ever tells them truth, how are they going to know? But we've accepted it, have we not? Hey, the world has accepted this. In fact, there's churches across the nation that are buying into it, right? And it is wrong. It's flat out wrong. Now, I'm just picking on that because it's very evident, right? There are many things, not just one. There are many things that people have fallen to deception in this area, in the area of God's standard. says, not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from truth. To the pure, all things are pure. Why did he say that? Listen, if you are pure, you know that you're walking in the standard of God. I mean, you know it in your heart. But if you're not, you'll also know that too, right? So how purity comes, those who know that they're walking in that standard of purity, they know they are because they're working at it, right? They're stepped up to a place to where they have engaged in personal responsibility of who they are in Christ, and they no longer live, but it's Christ that lives in them, right? So there's a standard that God has set here. And so to the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, right? Then they don't find purity anywhere because they've made a different standard. But both their mind and their conscience are defiled. And that's what happens if you lose track of what is the standard of God and what is pure and what is not. So, and how do we do this? We walk this standard of life by the Holy Spirit. Now, we are going to make mistakes, are we not? And we're going to fall. And God's going to, he's going to show us, right? He's going to prick our hearts. He's going to say, hey, this is something you need to look at. And you've got two things you can do. You can either say, yes, Lord, I see it. Help me through this. I repent. I change. I move from that. And I go in another direction. I go to a different direction. I stand on that standard. So they profess to know God, but their deeds, they deny him being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. So what happens is our conscience isn't pure, and so we get a seared conscience, and we start buying into the lie because, hey, everybody else is doing it, right? And God's saying, look, we can't allow ourselves to fall to that deception, because what happens is there is this blanket of acceptance for all happens, right? And we can accept everybody. We can love everybody. But there certainly is a standard that we all have to adhere to and grow to, right? Otherwise, why in the world would Jesus die on the cross for you and me? Well, there's no point in it. If it's okay for everybody to do whatever, right? No, there's a solid reason why he did that, so that we would have an advocate to go to so that we can purify our lives. Do you guys know what last Friday was? What was it? Huh? Friday the 13th, is that what you said? Okay, well, let's talk about Jewish holidays. That'll narrow the window. Does anybody know? Huh? Yom Kippur, that's right. And so what is that? Right? As believers, if we understand the Bible and the history of the word, Yom Kippur was a holiday for people to be purified, to come back to a place of rightness before God, right? And so they don't do anything. They all recognize that they've fallen short and they need to get back on track. So Yom Kippur, last Friday, did you know Israel was shut completely down? Nobody was doing a thing. And everybody was analyzing the truth of their walk with God and repentance before him and getting it right again. Right? That's what the whole holiday was geared for, just that. Right? So then that leads us into what Jesus did. See, that was Old Testament law of the holidays, and Jesus came, and what did he leave us with? Right? What do we get covered by, and what is our understanding is communion? Right? We get to come back, analyze ourselves, and get ourselves right before God, right? And say, we remember what you did on the cross for my sins. And so that's why he says, when you do this, when you take communion, don't you know, make sure you understand what you're doing, right? You got to stop and say, okay, your blood covers my sin, right? Your death on the cross is why I get to come back and get a new relationship with you every time I do this, right? You cover my failures and I can come back and get myself right, right? And so don't keep yourself from from this. This is a very important understanding for you and me as believers, because guess what? All of us fall short of the glory of God, every single one. And if you think you don't, you're calling God a liar. That's what the Bible says. And God says that he does not lie. So you are not perfect. Is everybody okay with that? For all you perfectionists, you okay with that? To finally get to the place where you can look at yourself and go, okay, I guess I'm not perfect. I've made mistakes. And I think all of us can stand in those shoes. I know I certainly can. And I'm thankful that Jesus did what he did, so that my failures can be covered and that I get a brand new day. And so today is our day. You know, I don't, as a pastor, I have chosen not to do this all the time. I don't take communion once a week like some churches do. I don't do it even once a month sometimes. But I do it in remembrance of what Christ done for us. And so when we do this, I make it a very important part of our walk with God, so that we understand we don't want to do this just to be doing it. That's not why we do it. We take communion for a reason. And that reason is that we can analyze ourselves, ask Jesus for our forgiveness of our sins, our shortcoming, and do it in remembrance of what he did for us. So his blood was shed for you and me, and his blood covers our sin. Right? His body was broken. That's what the bread represents, that his body, his flesh was torn and broken. So we tear the bread up into pieces, right? So that his body was torn for us. He was beaten for our transgressions, not his. Our failures. And his blood covers our sin. And you'll find that the Old Testament all looks toward Jesus. The New Testament all looks back to Jesus. And it's all about what he done. So as Jews, the ones that didn't see this as their sacrifice, missed it. And that's what he was talking about, their teachings. They didn't teach the truth. And so we reject that and grab a hold of truth, that Jesus did die for our sins. And if you can grab a hold of that, you got everything you need. That's why grace is sufficient for us. But that doesn't give us a way out, right? And listen, there's a lot of people believe that Jesus died on the cross for us, so we're good to do anything we want. And that's not true. And I can show you that in Scripture. Right? You're not free. In fact, you're bought with a price. Right? You were bought with a price, and that was by the blood of Jesus. And so now you are his. And so you need to know that. And as you understand that, his life lives in you. That therefore, the Holy Spirit comes upon you to give you strength to do the works of service, to share the gospel, to come to church every Sunday and be part of the family of God, even when you don't feel like it, right? But it's your duty before the Lord to be part of God's kingdom, and that is here on earth. We have God's kingdom on earth, don't we? He says it's here now, and it's also in heaven, right, in the days to come. And so we have that mandate to be part of it. And so are you guys part of it? Are you working toward the goal to purify yourself? Because listen, the Bible says you're the one that has to do that. Jesus did it all for you already. Now it's your responsibility to say yes to that and purify yourself, to step up to that standard of living that God has put for you. Right? And listen, some people go, well, that's impossible. I disagree. I think it's very possible, and I think that there are people in this world that do it every day. They live a life right before God, and they cleanse themselves, and this is a time, right here today, we get opportunity to cleanse ourselves. Right? This is your opportunity to do what God's called you to do, and come to communion, to pray, take a time to pray, and say, God, forgive me of my shortcomings, known and unknown. Those that even that I don't know, that you know, that I need to, that I would ask that you would cover them and reveal them to me, right? Because if it's true, if the Bible's true that says you sin and fall short of the glory of God, I guarantee you, you're probably doing stuff that you don't realize that you're doing yet. But God will show that to you. He will. One step at a time, he will reveal it to you as you can understand it, and he'll give you opportunity to grow. And so you can even pray for that. God, reveal to me the things that I need to know so that I can grow and do better before you and others. So I humble myself before you, God, and I come to your table righteously and freely, knowing that you've done this for me and you've given me opportunity too, and I take it in reverence before you. And that's the idea. That's what God's done. And so I want to do that. Is that clock wrong? Is it like 15 after 11? Wow. Did I talk that long? But it was good, right? That, right? It's good stuff. This is teaching and understanding of God's word for us as believers. And if we can grab a hold of that, we will grow. And so, yes, it was very direct. Yes, there's standards. You know, I'm sorry. Not really. I'm glad. Right? But those standards are for God's people. And if we adhere to those, guess what? The Bible's so clear. He's going to pour out a blessing on us that we cannot contain. Spiritual blessings, fullness of the Holy Spirit, walking in truth and being people that, you know, there's just a blessing to others. That's what happens. And that's what we want to be. Amen? So we're going to, worship team, if you come up, we're going to sing a song. And Dave and Dan, if you guys can bring that table out.